Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The Score Midday Show.
Make it sexy.
We try to make some sense out of what was just an absolute whooping at the United Center. They have produced the same result because largely it is a result of doing the same process 3 years in a row. Let's go to the phones.
I feel like I have been duped since The Last Dance and shortly after. This has been the biggest sports grift in Chicago in a long, long time. This dude is stealing, not getting better anytime soon.
I don't want to say it's the fans' fault, but I'm going to kind of go, you know, to the fans. Everyone complains that the team stinks, but you lead the league in attendance. You're packing the place. If you want someone to throw popcorn on you because that's fun, you can come to my driveway and I'll throw popcorn on your kids and kick them off. Because that's supposed to be the highlight of what they promote every week.
To AK, why do you still have a job?
Hi, I just want to know why I was born into such misery.
This franchise is basically a two-bit Las Vegas residency, just clamoring on to stay relevant and stay profitable. And it's just pathetic, and this city deserves better.
The Score Midday Show. Middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, it is Friday, and we are feeling good. The Cubs are back in town. The Bears are talking about positive things. The draft is less than a week away, and I am fortunate enough to be joined by one Mark Grody to talk all things Bears with you on this edition of Score Middays, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Behind the glass, I see Ray Diaz. I see Robbie Triano. If you want to see us, log on to Twitch. twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. That is our video team. Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, Matt Anaya. Also back there somewhere in the ether, there's one Brandon Fryer helping out as well. We're here. It's Friday. Big series against the Diamondbacks. And we start this show, Mark, with breaking news, which is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. It is official. Jordan Wicks called up. Luke Little, we hardly knew you. Four walks and you're out. He has been sent down to Iowa. And that's good news because it shows a short leash for some of these situations.
Oh, yeah. You know, Ron Coomer was talking about that. I mean, he reminded me today, as I said during transition, that this is a must-win year, kind of in their own little way this season. So that is nice. This also shows, like, I was surprised that Jordan Wicks was not on the ball club to begin the season. So it's not a surprise to me that he's been called up. And it is good for the Cubs' sake. They need more, I think, than Jordan Wicks with Justin Steele out. But there is depth. like how quality the depth is as far as the starters. We are going to find out. Hopefully Javier Assad will be healthy soon as well. So these are good placeholders for now. And who knows, if they get hot, then it's good. I always remind people, Jordan Wicks was a first round pick. So there is a certain expectation. There is a certain talent that goes along with that. So I still have high hopes for Jordan Wicks. And if I may.
You most certainly may.
I need to do this because I could not be more angry at myself right now.
What?
During the Cubs segment, during transition, I mentioned how since Ron Santo, there was that frustrating gap in third baseman. Every year, the Cubs are trying to come up with a sustainable third baseman. The guy I forgot, I went right to Chris Bryant because, of course, that gave you sustained success. The guy I forgot happens to be, seriously, one of my favorite Cubs players of all time. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Aramis Ramirez. Thank you to the texters. Understand, I loved Aramis Ramirez because you know what he did? All he did was get big hits, and he solidified the third base position, came over to the Cubs in 2003 from the Marlins, and helped them to win a couple of playoff series before things went really bad.
So you want to make sure that Aramis Ramirez not left out.
And I don't want to insult the listener's sensibilities, nor mine for that matter. I got to live with this now, Marshall. I got to live with the fact that I left Aramis Ramirez out of the conversation.
No. Cubs Hall of Famer, Grody. Cubs Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Cubs Hall of Famer, too. Yeah, I can't believe it.
Can't even believe it.
Three-time All-Star. I believe it was 2005 in which he helped lead my fantasy team to a championship.
Okay.
So
Oh, no, that was Cubs.
No, that was Cubs.
Yeah.
That was Cubs.
Pre-2003.
He was doing big things back then. So, I get it. Aramis Ramirez was that guy, and certainly if they had something close to that type of production, as opposed to being dead last in slugging percentage at third base in the major leagues, that would be appreciated. But we'll talk more Cubs coming up at 10:45. Meanwhile, let's talk Bears, because you were at Halas Hall. Give me kind of an overview of what you saw, because we were here and we were reading quotes online, and they didn't talk until our show was almost three-fourths of the way over. But I understand you feel like you learned some things, and what I learned was, hey, just because you played a position last year doesn't mean that you'll necessarily play that position this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a different feel to what the coordinators and the position assistants are saying, and a lot of it is, the best way for me to generalize that is there will be a new Bears way, I think, in terms of, you're not going to get away with things maybe you got away with the previous coaching staff.
Oh, that's good to know.
I think that, and honestly, I think a lot of the players probably embrace it. One of the coaches was talking about how the players want that they want to be coached hard, that they want some degree of discipline. So I think that was one of the overriding takeaways. I mean, there's so many people that we spoke to yesterday. We spoke to all the coordinators, the position coaches, and we're going to, like I said, I've got some great audio that we've not played yet that we will premiere here on The Score of guys like Eric Bieniemy, and he was an absolute treat. And I firmly believe that one of the only reasons he was brought in, other than the fact that, look, this is a good product as a coach. I mean, he's a former offensive coordinator, was at UCLA last year. He's had a good coaching career, if not like great, because he hasn't gotten to the top of the hill. But it was a pleasure to talk to him. I didn't know about him. Because you just hear things about this guy's mean, look out for him. He's not a good interview. He was a great interview, and he was fascinating. So that's a takeaway. Talk to Al Harris, the new DBs coach. A lot of Bears fans remember him from his playing days in Green Bay. Got some great stuff with him that we're going to get into a little bit later on as well. And then something that we learned, I know that piqued your interest yesterday as well.
Well, listen, we had Clay Harbor on, former NFL tight end, one of the hosts of the HSN Big Pro Football Show. He was in with us for two segments in studio, and he talked about the fact that T.J. Edwards got that new contract, and he made the suggestion that maybe T.J. Edwards will move to the middle, supplanting one Tremaine Edmonds this coming season. Listen to what Clay had to say.
I know Tremaine Edmonds is the middle linebacker, but T.J. is the guy that lines everybody up. He knows exactly where everybody's going to be. He's the guy you want on the field. TJ is even playing out of position. He should be playing middle linebacker. Tremaine should be playing Will. Okay, to me, that's easy slam dunk because he's not great in coverage. He's smart enough to be able to do what he has to do to cover the running back out the backfield, to cover the tight end when he has to. But if he's in the middle linebacker directing traffic, stopping the ball, he would be even better.
Should he be right now? Should they switch it up? Should Dennis Allen put him in the middle?
Dennis Allen, if he goes and looks at the film, TJ Edwards is a better middle linebacker than Tremaine Edmonds. You didn't bring this guy in. That was Matt Eberflus. It makes sense to put TJ at middle. I think TJ wants to be at middle, but Tremaine, I think, wants to be there too. But he would be a successful Will because he is more, he's longer, he's lanky, he's quicker. So it would make more sense because that Will linebacker has to guard running backs and tight ends more often than the Mike does. And then TJ could really just focus on getting the defense lined up and stopping this run game, which the Bears were not good at last season.
So that is Clay Harbor explaining why he believes TJ Edwards should move to middle linebacker and then move Tremaine Edmonds over to the weak side. He was on with us, Layla Rahimi and myself, on Score Middays. We're back on Score Middays, but Layla has the day off. Mark Grody is in. And Mark Grody had information basically from last night's big-time live studio audience podcast.
That's right.
Tell us about the setup first off, and then what you have on that specifically.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody that came out to our Blue Cross Blue Shield performance studio here at the Score and watched Dan Weider and I perform the Take the North podcast live here on the Score. It was such a great crowd, and it was so cool to mingle with some of the fans of the Score and of the podcast. But early on in the podcast, save it for the podcast is what Dan Weider always tells me, and he saved it for the podcast, some information to back up what Clay Harbor and you were discussing. Here's Weedsy.
I think that they are very, very serious about giving him a try at middle linebacker, which would then necessitate moving Tremaine Edmonds outside. I think that's going to be an ongoing experimental process throughout the spring, but it really feels like there's momentum headed in that direction. The one thing you get from talking to Dennis Allen is conviction. You know, he sees what he sees, and he feels like he's got some things there with both Gordon and TJ Edwards that he can utilize, and we'll see how they put those pieces together.
Yeah, I loved hearing that. You know, and part of this is, I mean, it makes sense to me, obviously, and it makes sense to Clay Harbor and you, since those were the conversation that you guys were having. Kind of sucks, though, when we talk about Tremaine Edmonds. And look, Tremaine Edmonds has not been a bad football player for the Bears, but he's not made nearly the impact one would like him to make, considering he was essentially the replacement part for Roquan Smith. And the part that has never stopped pissing me off, that Roquan Smith is not with the Chicago Bears to this day. That was a mistake. You got a player who is not as good as Roquan Smith. And really, while he's a great locker room guy, he is not lived up to what I think the Bears thought he was going to be coming from Buffalo. So there's a little bit of an indictment right there as well.
I think what I see when I see this situation is, because TJ Edwards had success at middle linebacker when he was with the Eagles, and the Eagles were good when he was there. They went to a Super Bowl when he was there. Now, he wasn't necessarily at middle linebacker when they went to the Super Bowl, but certainly there's a reason you went out and got him. And I know Ryan Poles targeted Tremaine Edmonds as Roquan Smith's replacement. But as you said, with Tremaine Edmonds, here's the issue. He's been a linebacker. Like, you could say he's been okay. He hasn't been a difference maker.
Right.
And they need a difference maker.
Playmaker.
As many as possible, as many different positions on defense as possible. And to be honest, watching TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, it's not close as to who made a bigger impact last season.
Right. I mean, TJ Edwards is all around the ball. I mean, he's always in place. He's a tackles machine. And we knew this. I mean, coming from Philadelphia, I mean, he had gaudy tackles numbers. That is what he does. So I do think that this is a smart move. And yes, Cubs fans, I know, Aramis Ramirez from the Pirates. I had the Marlins on my mind because of the devastation of the season. But Tremaine Edmonds, man, I mean, it is interesting. And I love it that Dennis Allen already, before they even get on the field, is tinkering and finding the best. Because that's what you do when you're a coach, when you're a real coach. You put the players in the best possible positions to succeed. Which brings me to Kyler Gordon, which I loved. Like, there were so many people that we talked to yesterday, like with, you know, probably 15, 20 people. The headline of the entire day to me was Dennis Allen talking about what he wants to do with Kyler Gordon. And that is basically to play him everywhere, in the slot, outside, maybe a little bit of safety, in the box, obviously, because he's good at stopping the run. That's what you do with talented players, and you make them multiple, as we always hear in the NFL. So I loved hearing that for Kyler Gordon.
So is this more about Dennis Allen's vision or his just baseline creativity?
I think it's more of his vision in this case. I mean, it could be creativity as well, but he sees a player who can be effective in all of those different ways. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. When Kyler Gordon, I remember his first training camp, he came to the Bears, and they were putting him everywhere, all over the field, in training camp. And his head was kind of spinning.
Yeah, he was struggling a little bit. You could even see in base formations what he was trying to do at different places because they were trying to see, I guess, what fit him best and what fit them best. Is that an accurate depiction of what the Bears were trying to do with him?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, he has that talent. Like, this is a guy who could have been a first-round pick, Kyler Gordon. So, I mean, every cornerback wants to play on the outside, right? That's what everyone wants to do. They tried everything with him. His head was spinning. The next year, the next training camp, they said, we're just going to use you in the slot. That's all you have to worry about in this training camp. That is where you will train. That is where you will play. Now he's gotten to the point. This is like perfect development, I think, of a player. Of all the bashing we do of the Bears and developing players, this has been a huge developmental success because he has gone from having his mind like so filled with different things to, now you're ready. Now you're ready to do all the things that maybe we thought we wanted you to do early on, but now you can be this sort of ultra defensive back, if you will.
How much can that solve their depth issues? And I don't know if you see it as a depth issue. I definitely see it as a depth issue at safety. If he's able to play some safety and then could play safety in a pinch if someone, I don't know, gets a concussion.
Jesus. Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, the Jaquan Brisker part of this is a big deal. So, yeah. And, you know, I've been talking about this with Tyreek Stevenson, who they seem to be wanting to give a fresh start to.
He has to get a fresh start.
Makes sense.
Has to.
New coaching staff, he should get a fresh start. And, of course, everybody knows what happened last year. And there was more to it than that. Like, Tyreek Stevenson had a tough year as far as coverage is concerned. But you've got Tyreek Stevenson, you've got Terrell Smith, you've got Kyler Gordon, all three guys who could, at times, being played on the outside. I can't wait to see how he uses it. Is there somebody who gets left out of it, or is it just just this kind of rotation and keep the defense or keep the offense off balance, as they were talking about, on every single play? So it's going to be really interesting, and it's going to give us a lot to pay attention to during the OTAs and, of course, during training camp.
This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Again, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, hanging out with you here on this lovely Friday. I do mean it is lovely. If you haven't been outside yet, you're going to enjoy it, unless you are overdressed.
I mean, it's a spring jacket that I wore open today. So,
and what happened on your walk?
I was sweating when I came in a little bit. Yeah.
Listen, man, you got to check that weather app before you leave.
But I feel good though when I sweat.
And you look good. Bit. Yeah. I think it's a good looking jacket.
It is. Thank you. Yeah, it's got like the cool zippers and whatnot.
It's very members only esque.
which is back, actually. The members
only is back.
Kind of like that style is in. At least it was like a few years ago when I bought this jacket at Target. Yeah. It's a sick Target jacket, man.
I mean, whatever you need to keep you safe on your commute. That's what we care about.
Yeah, but it's a safety and a little. I mean, I'm trying to be a little stylish too.
No, I get it. My one question back to linebacker, real quick. Do we see any fallout if indeed T.J. Edwards is moved to middle linebacker, and then the Will linebacker, the weak side linebacker, becomes Tremaine Edmonds? Will there be any blowback from Edmonds? Any?
I don't know. No, I think I'm sure. Like Tremaine. Not that we'll see. Like Tremaine Edmonds, when we talk to him, he's one of these guys who is just going to be positive no matter what, which is why he's very popular in the locker room. So for our purposes, I mean, he doesn't really say anything, but it's all like, it's all very people might remember Danny Trevathan when he was with the Bears, which might be even a good comp at this point to Tremaine Edmonds. Same way, rah-rah guy. And, you know, that's fine. I'm not saying we need him to do or say more. That'd be selfish on my part. But he's never going to break bad. I'm sure, look, of course it will be disappointing. He came in here. He's the middle linebacker. I remember us all raving over him and his size and his height. And, like, this, the Justin Fields talking about, like, what a distraction he is playing in the middle of the field and making plays in training camp. And it all looked good. It's just he's not the player I thought that he would be. And obviously that the Bears, this staff of the Bears is seeing it similarly.
I don't think he's the player he thought he was going to be in a Bears uniform. I think that's fair to say. Do you know who the number three leader in sacks was on the Bears last season?
Was it Jervon Dexter?
No, he was number two with five.
Was it Montez Sweat?
Montez Sweat was number one with 5.5.
Oh, Kyler Gordon.
No, Kyler Gordon is down the
list. TJ Edwards
is your number four sacks.
Yeah, well.
That's third. So it makes you ask a question. Okay, TJ, they gave him some money. They got some guys through free agency making trades. Are they ready to actually, you know, get to the quarterback for the first time in I don't know how many years? That's a question that we will get an answer from the defensive coordinator. Some of the sound that was gathered by one Mark Grody. You are listening to Mark Grody, Marshall Harris. It's Score Middays here on 670 Score.
Talking with DA has been very enlightening because we share the same mindset when it comes to defensive football, which is we want to affect the passer. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that. Certainly up front, the pass rush is the primary thing you think of, but also on the back end, it's challenging the receivers and disrupting the timing. So it's that fine balance and marriage between the rush and coverage that we're looking to augment.
The Day Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Hate it or love it, underdogs on top. Welcome back to...
You're the MVP.
Score of Middays. No, I'm looking for the Bears defensive MVP, though, I'll tell you that.
MVP me.
Oh, look at you.
Come on now.
Look at you.
I mean, every once in a while.
Mark Grody, ladies and gentlemen.
I sound like I know what I'm talking
Listen
about.
Listen to a little bit of 50 Cent.
I mean, it's
Who
just...
Knew?
I mean, this song just, it's like runs through you. It's just... What was that?
That's you. That was you during the Kyler Gordon breast conference.
Wait, what is that?
Wait. You saying bet?
You said bet. You did like a double bet.
Do you guys know what I was actually saying there? That maybe I cut myself off on that?
Were you saying I bet?
I bet. Because he said eventually I'll get something. So I said, oh, I bet.
Well, I'm the czar and I make the rules now.
The czar! Mitch Rosen is the czar. Didn't you know about that?
The bet.
That's what our 11 o'clock guest calls our fearless leader, Mitch Rosen. Chuck Swirsky calls him the czar.
The czar?
Yes.
And we're going to
call him. And he loves it. Mitch is like, yes, I wish more people would call me the czar. He always says that. It's weird that he would say that. I'm like, I mean, I love you, Mitch. I just, like, it just feels weird to call him the czar.
I can see him, the shorter basketball, Fratello, right? He's the czar, right?
Mike Fratello? He's the czar of the telestrator. And I can't, that was a bad Marv Albert right there. I was conflating Chuck a little bit.
I knew who you were talking about or trying to be.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm wondering if the Bears know who they are trying to be right now. Here's why. Because getting to the quarterback has been an issue since I moved to this city. No, really.
I believe it.
I'm being dead serious.
Yes. So you did not come here before Robert Quinn.
No, I was here for the Robert Quinn
years. You were here for the Robert Quinn years.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then, even then, that felt like...
Yeah, but he did. He did have, was it 20 sacks? I mean, he had an elite year.
Who else had an elite year?
Yeah, really. Well, Khalil Mack, but that's
before
the
me.
First year. He was traded in Ryan Poles' first year.
Yes.
So, yeah. And even at that point, he was not getting to the quarterback. I understand what you're saying. It's been a slog over the last few years with the Chicago Bears getting to the quarterback. We were just talking about that in terms of, like, the numbers have been horrid. I mean, it just, the Montez Sweat year, and I get, like, he might have been banged up. He might have been injured all year, but it was so disappointing. I mean, the Montez Sweat effect was non-existent last year.
Well, he went from leading two teams in sacks to leading one team in sacks with less sacks than he had on either of the two teams. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's bad. Not only is it bad, but it's untenable if you want to be good in the National Football League to not get to the quarterback. And you're thinking, with some of the moves that were made,
that maybe the Bears are closer to getting things done as far as feeling good about how they're attacking the passer.
Dio Dangbo is here. Grady Jarrett is now here to add to Montez Sweat and Austin Booker. So Dennis Allen was asked about that yesterday. So is that, Dennis, is that actually now a strength of the Chicago Bears?
I think it's a step in the right direction. We're never in the position that we're just satisfied with where we're at. We're going to continue to look for areas that we think we can improve this defense. But I do think we made some improvement in that area, obviously with the addition of Grady, as an interior defensive tackle. Dio, I think one of the things that he does exceptionally well is I think he moves inside in passing downs and rushes really well from the interior. So I do think we have some options in there, and certainly that's like one of the main points of pass rush. You know, everybody talks about these speed rushers off the edge, but really it's about the interior pocket pressure that you have to have, and that allows guys like Montez Sweat to be able to have some success coming off the edge.
I love listening to that because I love this idea that with Dio Dangbo specifically, he's not necessarily going to be in the same place from down to down.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find a point of attack, a point of weakness in the offensive line, and they're going to sick them. And the Bears for a long time now had needed a degree of sick them when you're talking about getting after the quarterback. Now, hopefully Andrew Billings is all healed up, ready to anchor the middle, because you just heard what he said about the interior. But overall, you were kind of surprised maybe that they weren't more confident in where they are with pass rushing?
Just because he said it's a step in the right direction. And I thought that was the perfect way to handle that. Yeah, we got these guys, but we don't know if Odangbo is going to be a guy. He never has gotten to the quarterback. And I know that, Ryan Poles told me when I asked him about it, when they had the press conference, look, you got to watch the tape. You got to see what he does. Okay. So then you're right. So then maybe Dennis Allen makes him, moves him all over the line. And he talks about that inside pressure. It also, now listening to it again, it makes me think, of course, maybe the first thing you think is, oh, maybe the Bears are going to draft a defensive end. Really, what he's saying is that pressure in the middle. So it starts to get me back on the Mason Graham train. Now, I don't know if Mason Graham, Ruthie Polinsky's guy, I don't know if Michigan's
at 10? Mason Graham down to 10?
Well,
can you see it? Can you wiggle your way around that idea?
I don't see it, but I talked to somebody from the NFL Network last week who said, oh, yeah, definitely he's going to be there at 10. Like, a couple people recently are saying that he could be – and I said, what? Really? Because he was the first guy. Like, you got to have guys throughout the draft. He was my first – like, Mason Graham's a guy. But then I thought, there's no way he's going to be there at 10.
So you kind of put it out of your mind because you thought they're not going to trade up high enough to get a Mason Graham.
I pivoted to Tyler Warren, and now I might be pivoting to Colson Loveland because Matt Miller went on the afternoon show and said that he likes him better, and I think Matt Miller is really good at what he does.
It's interesting you say that because Colson Loveland's getting a lot of love, and Clay Harbor even had to kind of backpedal a little bit and talk about the fact that, hey, I know I was the guy. I mean, you guys literally within 24 hours of each other said, Bears should take Tyler Warren. You said it when I pressed you on Mark Grody draft 1.0.
That's the only mock draft I did, by the
way.
So exclusive to you, Marshall
Harris. Exclusive to us here on Score Middays with Layla Rahimi and myself. And then Clay came in, unbeknownst that you had said anything about it, said, oh, Tyler Warren, that's the guy. You need a playmaker, a weapon. He is those things. Now, we just had Clay yesterday, and he was talking about Loveland as well.
That's awesome.
Why is Loveland making this huge jump? I'll tell you what Clay said. Clay talked about the fact that he watched more tape of him and saw him doing more things than he thought he could do when he first saw a glimpse of him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basically going off what Matt Miller said, and it was something very similar to that. And he wasn't, like, Matt Miller made it very clear on the Spiegel and Holmes show that he's not, like, he still thinks, like, Tyler Warren is a really good player. He just thinks that Colson Loveland is a better route runner, just a better overall product. And they said, specifically with Tyler Warren, they said that they schemed him so much, almost like they put him in the right positions, Loveland a slightly better athlete, but then I thought about Tyler Warren. What does Ben Johnson do but scheme guys up, right? Like, he puts his tight ends in a position to win. So Tyler Warren might be the perfect product right now still.
Okay, let's listen to what Matt Miller actually had to say about one Colson Loveland.
I think Loveland is a better route runner. I think he's a better blocker, and I think he's a better athlete. And I know folks in Chicago watch a lot of Big Ten football. What you saw last year was Tyler Warren be schemed a ton of opportunities, which is awesome. They were smart. Penn State did a really good job because they didn't have any wide receivers. So it's like, hey, let's scheme our best offensive player a ton of touches. And it led to huge production. I worry a little bit about Tyler Warren being able to find those openings and find that production in the NFL on his own. With Colson Loveland, I have none of those concerns because he is a better route runner and he is a better athlete. At Michigan, he played in the slot. He played in line. He's a very good run blocker from both of those positions. So I like both guys. I'm not going to disparage Tyler Warren. He's a great player. I would just prefer Colson Loveland. I think he's an easier evaluation as you project those skills to the NFL.
It was interesting listening to Clay because he's played with such an array of first-string tight ends. To be clear, Clay was usually the second tight end in any situation he was in unless there was an injury.
Why are you going to bring that up, man?
Well, no, I'm giving perspective and context. That's all it is. No shade to a guy who had an almost decade-long NFL career and got to be a reality TV star, too. I'm not shading Clay.
No, he's great. He's awesome on CHSN, which I have now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
I have the antenna as well. Yes, I watch White Sox games sometimes because, well,
we have
what
to.
Is life? What is life?
Life is White Sox.
So with Clay talking about how he was in camp with Rob Gronkowski, and he was like, what is this guy doing that's so great? And he compared a little bit Tyler Warren to him. He's like, he's not doing anything mechanically that's great. He just finds a way to get open. Bottom line. Mm-hmm. He's a bottom line guy.
Yes.
And that's kind of what Tyler Warren has been described as. That's why he's a weapon, because he'll just find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
But he was also heavily featured in that offense where a guy like Loveland, he seems to do everything better. He just maybe wasn't given as much opportunity because everything wasn't schemed around him like it was a Tyler Warren.
Yeah, it's just so juicy to think about what they could do with Cole Kmet, who I know like it felt like a lost year last year with Cole Kmet and just not getting targeted. I mean, he had some really nice moments for sure during the season, but too many games were like, well, where were all the targets for Cole Kmet? And I think that you add that move tight end, and you can have the two tight end personnel sets, and this will open up Cole Kmet as well. I guarantee you there's not going to be games this year where we're asking at the end of it, what the hell, where was Cole Kmet? I think that this offensive coordinator, this offensive staff will find that way.
I think one of the reasons why you're correct is because if Ben Johnson is anywhere near the tactician that we think he is, the Bears are just going to have more drives and longer drives. So there'll be more opportunities for everyone involved. That goes for the running game, the passing game, and even within the passing game, getting tight ends, running backs, and wide receivers all involved.
Are we going to be disappointed if DeAndre Swift is the Bears' starting running back next year?
No.
How about this? Do you think there's any chance that DeAndre Swift will be the Bears' starting running back next year? You don't think that somewhere along... I'm not saying that they're going to get Genty at 10, which is plausible, by the way, but you've got the 2 second-round picks. You've got some later picks as well. Don't you think they're going to draft the starting running back? I think they're going to draft... Somewhere along the line, I think that they're going to draft a guy who they think is going to be the load back. I think DeAndre Swift can be used in all sorts of different ways, and you could this is going to be the Ben Johnson effect, getting the most out of a player who, again, was, I thought, relatively disappointing. But again, that could also go back to the way the coaching staff was and Shane Waldron and all that was the Bears coaching staff.
I see DeAndre Swift not knowing how Ben Johnson exactly felt about him in their time together in Detroit, but Swift is a guy you can also move around and put in different places.
Absolutely, and that's what I'd like to see more of. So if you get that load running back, whether it's Ashton Genty or Trevion Henderson or Omarion Hampton, who a lot of people...
Omarion Hampton. Clay was in love with him.
Now Clay and I, again, on the same page. Because
do you guys
call?
Do you have teleconferences?
No,
how does this work?
I think maybe we're talking to some of the same people, because the people that I talk to say there is a on the record and off the record, there's a fine line right now to some people between Ashton Genty and Omarion Hampton. So unless the Bears scouting staff thinks that Genty is like just way better, like ahead of the pack, and maybe they do see it that way, it feels like you could wait for one of those other running backs, specifically Omarion Hampton, who has gained a lot of steam and momentum.
That's the advantage of the Bears having that extra second round pick. We'll see what they do with four picks in the top 71. I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm not even a big NFL draft guy. Like, I pay attention to it, obviously. I study it because that's part of the job, but it's not like the most hyped I get. But when you have a cluster of picks the way the Bears do, and you have a cluster of needs the way the Bears still do, I want to see how Ryan Poles and ultimately Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen, see this playing out, and if they can get everything addressed where you do feel like they're in good shape. Maybe Dennis Allen has different answers coming up as we get closer to the mini camps and also, of course, training camp, which is closer than you think, Mark.
Trust me, I know, man. And people think I'm crazy for this, but I can't wait because it's a lot of work. But I'm already looking forward to the work and seeing this. Like, we've all been revitalized by Ben Johnson and this team, and hopefully the draft will keep us revitalized as well.
Well, hopefully that continues. We're going to take a look at the Cubs coming up because they've got a big homestand with a red-hot Arizona Diamondbacks team that's looking real mirror image-like. Can they make the most of what's an 8-game homestand coming up at Wrigley starting this afternoon with a 1:20 first pitch? That's when Marshall Harris, Mark Grody returned with more Score Middays on 670 Score.
I think overall, you know, if you look at the beginning of the season, this is one of your tougher trips. I think, you know, we did make ourselves a hard beat, but, you know, you're also kind of, you know, you're frustrated because probably you feel like there was another game out there we could have won on the trip. So, you know, move on and enjoy the off day. And
well, the off day is behind them. Craig Counsell and his team back from what I would call a successful 500 road trip against the Dodgers and Padres, two teams expected to make hard pushes for not only the postseason, but a chance at the World Series as well. We're back here on Score Middays. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi has the day off. And certainly, looking at the Cubs now, they're coming home off yet another successful, as I said, I would call it, maybe not everyone, but if you go 3-3 on the road against good teams, you're in great shape. They won a series against the Dodgers. They lost a series against the Padres. They haven't been swept since the opening 2-game set. They'll see the Dodgers for two and finally close the book on the Dodgers on this homestand. But first, they got to deal with a red-hot Arizona Diamondbacks team. And Grody, I'm looking at this, and this 8-game homestand seems like a time where they can't necessarily relax, but at least they can say, we're home.
Mm-hmm.
They've been bouncing around everywhere.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got the Dodgers, you've got Philadelphia coming up after Arizona. But yes, I feel like this is the first time where the Cubs can get cozy and get comfortable and not have to think about where their next road trip, not have to think about going to Tokyo, not having to think about an early season 6-game trip against the Dodgers and the Padres. Now you do some damage. I will see your successful road trip at 3-3 and raise you. I think it's very successful that the Cubs are 12-9 at this point in the season too. I'll take that as well. I mean, at some point in time, you want them to blast off and maybe open, you know, get to about 10 games over 500. That's where things start to get real. I think they're in a really good position right now. There is work to be done because Justin Steele is out. Jordan Wicks was called up today, if you hadn't heard. Colin Ray going today against Corbin Burns, a guy that they did not have to face when they played in Arizona. They were able to escape him. They will not escape Burns today. He goes to the mound today. The Cubs split that 4-game series with Arizona in March.
Of course, you remember the bullpen breakdown. Woo! In those games. I know
Eli Morgan, ladies and gentlemen, breakdown.
He apparently might have been hurt because he's on the injured list right now.
I hope so.
Eventually did get hurt. Luke Little didn't last very long.
Nope.
And I think we're seeing a message here from the front office and, you know, to a further extent, the manager and Craig Counsell that it is a situation where you're not getting much leniency. We're now, you know, a month into the season, and the expectation is that the Cubs are going to contend not just in the Central, where they are projected to be the favorites, but also one of the better teams in the National League. And there's a clear hierarchy. The senior circuit is what they call it. And, you know, respect your elders if you're the American League, because the National League has all the teams with good records. Especially in that National League West, which the Cubs have had a healthy dose of to start the season. But I'm intrigued by this matchup specifically today when you look at these hitters from both teams in these series. We got a lot of guys who are making early pushes early in the season. If you took a look at the MLB WAR, two of the top four players are on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Corbin Carroll, only second to Aaron Judge in WAR, with a 1.5 WAR so far this season. Meanwhile, Geraldo Perdomo right behind him at 1.4. And the Cubs, they're making noise. They have a handful, or really a trio, of guys who have a 1.1 WAR, led by Pete Crow Armstrong. Also, unexpected, Carson Kelly, who's been doing lights out things, usually out of the nine spot as a catcher. And of course, Kyle Tucker, who you expect to be there. He's in a contract year after all.
Oh, yeah.
So looking at what the Cubs are putting out there and the Diamondbacks are putting out there, I say this could be like a mirror image series. Both of these teams very aggressive on the base paths, right? Corbin Carroll just became the first MLB player in 2025 to record 3+ stolen bases in a single game. And he's done that 4 times since 2023.
I love Corbin Carroll.
Well, you know who really loves him? The Diamondbacks and their fans, because he has been raking.
Yeah.
I think which team has a better weekend on the base paths is going to be the team that likely wins this series.
Oh, then the Cubs are going to win the series.
The Diamondbacks can do the things that Cubs do. That's what I'm trying to...
Well, that was their thing. That was why they... It was 2 years ago they went to the World Series?
Yes.
Yeah, and they did. That's how they did it. I mean, they were that team.
Aggressive.
Yes, yes, extremely aggressive. But yeah, the Cubs have been highly successful. I like what you said, too, about, you know, Luke Little being sent down and the Cubs acting accordingly. Like I said, like, before the season started, the reason that I can't get the Cubs to 90 wins was because of the Alex Bregman situation. Like, that would have symbolized something different. Like, maybe, I mean, I'm not saying I've got him like 86, 87 wins, but that would have been a difference maker. When Matt Shaw got off to the slow start, the Cubs had to, this is not a year to be developing a player. Like, I mean, and there is some development happening, but when it's not working out, I'm sorry, Matt, we don't have time for this right now. We are not the Marlins, so we're going to send you down. So I do like the way that they're acting accordingly. And then a name, too, that I brought. I thought this was going to be my guy back there when we were.
It is your guy.
It is
my guy.
It's
still your guy.
Is it my guy?
I mean, you said the name, and we just agreed with you.
You guys, right.
Set it up, though, how you presented it.
I said to everybody, and to Ray and the tree, and to you, Marshall, I said, guy, I come in thinking I had something. I said, I got a guy in the bullpen who can maybe, like, we got to watch, and maybe he could be something. And I said, you guys want to guess, thinking that maybe you guys wouldn't know. And then immediately, all of you were like, Daniel Palencia? Daniel Palencia? every one of them. Daniel Palencia.
Is that how he sounded to you?
Yeah, that's how. I was like, okay. But I was won over in the final game of the Cubs-San Diego series, where he comes in the sixth inning with runners on first and third, gets out of the jam. This is a 25-year-old kid. Now, the next inning, he did allow a run, but just seeing that and still knowing that he's young and knowing that he's got velocity, it's like, you look at it and say, could there be something there? I think there might be something there.
There can definitely be something there.
Something there.
With Daniel Palencia, you're just looking for guys who can get out of situations. And every bullpen needs a good fireman or three, is what I always say. And when I say fireman, that's the guy that the inning's already on fire. I need you to go put the fire out. That means there are people on base. And can you retire the batters left in that inning without allowing the people on base to score?
One of the hardest things to do in sports.
The fireman.
Yes.
And why I say you need one or three, because you need multiple guys who can do that job.
Absolutely.
And Daniel Palencia might be at the top right now of guys. What you do know is you've got Julian Merriweather, you've got Porter Hodge, and you've got, at least the last two games, Ryan Pressly. So if you've got your 7, 8, 9 on a typical night, and then you've got firemen who, first of all, if the starter can't get through his final inning, that can come in and end things, you're in good shape. Now, what concerns me about the Diamondbacks is we've talked about the Cubs. They've got a lot of pop. They could steal a bag. Now, second in the major leagues, by the way, in stolen bases behind the Mariners, who have just started running at will. But they still have 27 home runs on the season in 21 games. That's good. Tied for fourth with the Athletics, who, of course, got the benefit of playing the White Sox for 3 games. That'll boost your numbers. Right behind them, though, are the Diamondbacks. They have one less home run than the Cubs. So they can not only run, but they can also hit. The Diamondbacks are a good baseball team.
Yes.
So one thing you can't have is the errors and whatnot. I think that's the other thing we need to look at besides just the pitching matchups and the aggressive base running. But the errors are going to be huge in this one.
Do you got those pitching matchups in front of you?
I do have the pitching matchups in front of me. Because, today, yeah. It's Colin Ray taking on
Corbin Burns.
And then tomorrow, it's Zach Gallen against Ben Brown.
Yes.
I know you love Ben Brown.
I know. You're like, oh, mismatch.
Zach
but
Gallen's
come on.
Got some things he can do. And then it's Merrill Kelly against Jameson Taillon
okay.
coming up on Sunday. So those are the matchups. We'll talk more Cubs later on. But right now, on the other side, ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Swirsky, fresh off of what some would say is a successful bull season. I'm not one of those people, by the way. He's going to join us in studio. And if you're on the Twitch, you're in for a delight. Because this man, he is a Joe Bag of Donuts up, if you will.
What?
Chuck Swirsky joins us on the other side. It's Score Middays with Mark Grody and Marshall Harris. Layla Rahimi with the day off.
Wow.